You're listening to Hearing Our Heritage, the podcast where we preserve the voices and stories of the older generation and make them accessible to younger ears. We pay tribute to those who have paved the way and learn from their lived experiences. I'm your host, Katie Pierce.
My name is Sandy Ross. I'm 80 years old, just had my 80th birthday, and I was born in Pangwidge, Utah.
Sandy Ross is a bright, beautiful, giving woman who has devoted her life to working hard and caring for her family. She grew up in Pangwidge, Utah, where she enjoyed working on the farm with her dad and riding her horse, Bess. Her father tragically passed away when she was only 15 years old, and their family moved to Salt Lake. Just before graduating high school, Sandy met and married Grant Dwayne Ross in 1961. Together, they raised three children, Kathy, Carla, and Kelly, and two of their seven grandchildren. They owned and operated Sandy's Drive-In in Richfield, and Sandy eventually went on to work for Utah Power and sat on the executive board of the union. She was the first female to do so and was on the board for 25 years. Sandy is a devout follower of Christ, and along with Dwayne, they visited 53 temples and served a temple mission to Lima, Peru. Sandy's beautiful life story starts with her loving parents.
Albert D. Seavey is my dad, and Jean Exel Seavey is my mother. He owned a ranch, and he also had a farm. He ran cattle and also sheep. I begged my mother to let me go with him, and she used to say, "Now, you've got to stay home and learn how to cook and clean and sew." And my dad would say, "Oh, Jeannie, let her go with me today. There's plenty of time to learn that." So I went with my dad quite often, and I just loved going down on the farm. I remember one time down there, he was hauling hay, and I begged him to let me drive the truck. Now, keep in mind, I was probably 12 years old at this time. And my dad said, okay. He told me exactly what to do. And I got in the right furrows and did really well. Dad was throwing the hay bales on the hay wagon. And I got to the end. And rather than pulling out on the road, I just cut right across the furrows and threw all the hay off. My dad wasn't very happy. He says, "I think I'll let somebody else drive next time." But that was a fun thing that happened to me with my dad. I loved being down there with him. Mom was a seamstress. She sewed a lot of clothes for a lot of people. She made a band uniform for me when I was 14 years old. I played the clarinet, and I was good enough that I could get in the band. That I still have that little coat. She made a little coat for me. It looked like a Red Riding Hood coat, and I loved that. Everywhere I went, even in the summertime, I would grab that little coat. And one day, my mom got very angry at me because I wanted to go to Ogden and see my cousin. Her name was Tanya. Mom said, "No, we can't go. We can't go." So I put on my little coat and took my doll and two biscuits I put in a sack, and that was my food. And I headed off for Ogden. I wasn't even going in the right direction. And I got out in the fields and got lost, didn't know where I was at. And a farmer was down there and saw a little red coat bouncing up and down. And I was probably a mile from home, from the city. And he brought me home and took me downtown. And my aunt happened to be there. And he came in and said, "Who is this little girl?" She was wandering around my farm. And I did learn a little lesson from that. My aunt lived maybe a half a block from me on the corner. Mom would tell me to go in and clean my bedroom, and I, of course, didn't want to do that. That was work. So I would hurry and put on my little red coat, and I'd run over to my aunt. Her name was Aunt Elsa. I would knock on the door, and I'd say, "Aunt Elsa, hide me quick. Mom said I could come and play." So she would hide me behind the door and then let my mother know where I was at. And I'd done that all the time. Mom would get so mad, but I just wanted to go over there because she always gave me fun treats, and it was fun to go over there. I have three siblings and myself, so there were four children. My brother is the oldest, and his name is Albert D. Seavey. My sister, my older sister, is Kay. Kay and I were very close, and we still are. Then there was me. I was the middle child. That's why I was such a handful, I guess. And everybody calls me Sandy, except my mother. When she was mad at me, she called me Sandra. And that used to really frustrate me. My youngest sister is Irene. We had a fun family. We'd done a lot of fun things together. I've always got along very well with my brothers and sisters, and I have special things that I have done with each one of them. My sister and I loved the little lambs that Dad had down on the farm. And every once in a while, he'd get some bummer lambs. He would let us have them. And we had a little lamb named Frisky. It was the cutest lamb you have ever seen. We loved that little lamb. We bottle fed it with a bottle and nipple and fed that little lamb, and we just loved it. We'd take it out of the little pen we had built for it and let it run around. And if our front door ever got opened, Frisky would run right through the front door, make a circle around the house, and run out the back door. And then he would run around the side of the house and come back around front where we could watch him. We loved that little lamb. Before school started, Dad would sell the lambs. We begged him not to sell Frisky. But he finally took Frisky and put it down on the ranch. So from the money we saved on those little lambs, we got enough money that I got to buy a coat. It was a brand new coat right from the store. I remember it. It was green, and that was my favorite color, and it was kind of a green plaid, and I was so proud. I finally had a coat that wasn't homemade. While I was young, we had a horse named Old Bess, and I loved that horse, and I loved to ride that horse. Well, it was just before my birthday, and I had begged my mom and dad to get me a pair of Indian moccasins. I loved them, and some of my friends had them, and I wanted a pair so bad. And they did get me these beautiful white Indian moccasins with the beading all over the toe. And I thought I was just so smart having those. I wanted to go out and ride Old Bess, and he said, "Okay, Sandy, you can go ride, but don't wear your moccasins." Well, I was smarter than everyone else, so I went out and I rode Old Bess. And guess what? I lost one of my moccasins. It came off and floated down the spring ditch. I was heartbroken, and I came home and I begged my dad and mom to get me another pair. They wouldn't. They said, "No, you were told, so now you don't get to." I saved that one moccasin, and I remembered. That was a good lesson for me to do what my mom and dad told me to do. One thing I remember about my dad, he came home one day, and he had a television. We probably had the first or second television that ever came into Panguidge. And I remember Sunday afternoon, all my friends and all of Kay's friends would come in and we'd sit on the floor and watch Bonanza. That was my dad's most favorite movie. And we watched a lot of Bonanza and cowboy shows that come on at that time. But my dad was really fun. I remember he used to sit on the sofa and he'd gather us kids around him, and I used to hurry as fast as I could so I could get on one of his knees. And it usually was I and my little sister, Irene, that got on his knees. And he would sing the funniest songs to us. One of them was called "The Animals Went to the Fair." The birds and the bees were there. An old raccoon by the light of the moon sat combing his golden hair. The old rhinoceros, he kicked up one heck of a fussity fuss. The monkey, he got drunkity drunk and fell on the elephant's trunkity trunk. The elephant sneezed, fell down on his knees, and that was the end of the monkity monk. But he would make up these songs and sing to us. And I loved that because he had the prettiest voice, and we'd all sit there and laugh and laugh.
When Sandy was only 15 years old, her father, Albert, passed away unexpectedly. She had been so close to him in her childhood, and his death took a real toll on her.
Well, my father passed away when I was 15 years old. My dad was 48 years old, and he died of a heart attack, and he was down on the farm, and that just broke my heart. I remember Mom and I went down on the farm to see if we could find him because he never came home that night for dinner. And so we went down on the farm and drove all around, could not find him. I found out later that he was laying maybe 4 or 5 feet from where we were down trying to find him. They didn't find my dad till the next morning. And that was a sad time, a very sad time in our family. I really struggled with my faith as to whether I really even believed that God was real.
Following her father's death, Sandy's family moved to Salt Lake. Despite her grief, Sandy enjoyed her teenage years at Highland High.
I had a great time in high school. I did well, got fairly decent grades. Freshman year, I tried out for the JV cheerleader, and I did get to be a cheerleader there in Panguitch and was a cheerleader for 2 years. I really enjoyed that. It was fun. We left Panguitch after my dad died and moved to Salt Lake, my mom and I and my youngest sister. Interesting enough, each one of us kids were four and a half years apart. And my brother then was in the service. Kay got married and her husband was in the service. And she had a little girl, Trace Terry, and so she had started her family, and Tracy was her second child, and Tracy was an arthrogryposis, is what it's called. The muscles in her little arms and legs didn't develop, and she went to Primary Children's Hospital, and that's why my mother worked up there. That was really the reason we moved up there. I went to school up at Highland High School. Then I met this guy. And I decided I wanted to get married. So I kind of was a rebel, but I married my husband, Dwayne Ross, and I finished school right after we got married. We met at the Frost Top in Panguitch. I was a car hop, and he was hauling logs, a diesel truck, and they hauled logs. And they used to come into the Frost Top every night after work, him and his best friend, Larry Kuhn. He told Larry, after he'd been in the Frost Top several times, he told Larry, he says, "I'm going to marry Sandy." And Larry just laughed at him. He says, "No, you won't." He says, "Yep, I'm going to marry Sandy." He used to come in, and we had started going together. My mother wasn't very happy about that because he was older. But he'd come in and he'd say, "Now, do you want a kiss or a tip?" And for a while, I was pretty stupid. I'd always say a kiss. So I'd get a little kiss through the window. Finally decided maybe I ought to get a tip. So I started telling him, "Nope, I want a tip." And Actually, Dwayne bought my wedding dress. He'd leave quarters on the tray, and I put them in a root beer mug. I had two root beer mugs, a tall one and then the medium one. And I filled both of those with quarters, and that's what I bought my wedding dress with. That has been quite a hit with my kids. They thought that was pretty funny that Dwayne bought the wedding dress. I think I fell in love with Dwayne or his car, and he used to let me take it to school. My mother was not happy about that, but it had fins, silver fins, and oh my gosh, it was a hot car. It was really cool. And I'd take that to school and take my girlfriends for a ride in it. I thought I was really smart because I had this older guy that I loved, and he let me take his car. Almost 17 when I got married. Dwayne and I have had a wonderful marriage. It's a good thing he was a little older than I am, because he was 20, and he bet my mother that he wouldn't have to have a parent sign for him to get married. But we went down to get the marriage license, and guess who won? My mother. We had to wait and have his dad come up and sign for him. But he has been a great husband and a great father. It was a fairy tale wedding. It really was. My mom had it in her home, and Bishop Brown, came over and he did the ceremony, but it turned out really nice, very nice. And then we came back to Panguitch and had a shower. That's what they called them then, a wedding shower. And that was at my Grandma Stevie's house. And I still have fond memories of that. And our honeymoon was clear from Salt Lake to St. George. We stayed our first night in Nephi. Well, that was exciting, but we stayed in a very nice motel, and probably the nicest one they had there, and that was our first night. Then we went on to St. George, and that was fun. We had a great time just walking around the streets and buying a few little knickknacks that we would, you know, have for the rest of our life. Came back to Salt Lake, and Dwayne went to work at Sears as a mechanic. And he'd done that for probably a year. And during that year, then I was lucky and got this beautiful baby girl named Kathy. And she is my oldest. It was so much fun. Kay and I just lived around the corner from each other. So whenever I needed to go shopping or something, we would, I would either go to her house and leave Kathy, or she'd come to my house and leave Tracy and Terry. So that was really fun. We built a very strong relationship there. From there, Dwayne decided, or Larry, his friend, had called him and asked him to come to Panguitch and drive logging truck. So from Salt Lake, we moved to Panguitch again, and Dwayne drove logging truck down there.
Eventually, the family made the move down to Richfield, where they have been ever since.
We lived in Salt Lake or Woods Cross area for probably 3 or 4 years. We bought a home there. We had a lot of friends there in that subdivision. I mean, it was all young couples and all young kids. And I loved it up there. I thought that was just great. After we'd been in Salt Lake for probably, 3 years, we decided we needed another baby. So we got pregnant. And he came to Richfield one day. I don't know why I wasn't with him. I don't remember. But I stayed in Salt Lake, and he called me on the phone and said, "I bought your birthday present." And I said, "My birthday present? What?" He said, "I bought the Arctic Circle." I I mean, I was totally in shock. And he said, I'm going to sell my trucks and I am going to, we're going to run the Arctic Circle. After we'd had it for a while, we got rid of the Arctic Circle franchise. It was so expensive. And it's called Sandy's Drive-In now, and it is still there, and it is still doing very well. I worked in the Arctic Circle with Dwayne, but it was hard for me, because I was a little bit hard-headed, and I wanted to do things one way, and Dwayne wanted to do them another way, and of course, he's the boss. And I did not like that he was the boss all the time at work. We'd come home at night and he was still the boss. And that really bothered me. And we got arguing down there at the drive-in. It was just before the noon hour, which our noon hours were very busy. And he came in and he says, Sandy, you're going to have to quit and find another job. He said, this arguing is not working. The only time in my life I have ever been fired, and my husband fired me from the drive-in. I said, okay, I ripped my apron off, threw it on the counter, picked up my baby, and I came home. Left him to handle the whole thing, and that didn't go over very well. But it was the best thing that ever happened to us, because I got a job at Valley Central Bank. And I was the third employee, and I had the third account that was ever put into Valley Central Bank. And I loved that job. I was still, you know, helping people, and that I love. I met a lot of friends there. A lot of Dwayne's friends would come in, and, you know, we just had a great relationship there at the bank. Well, one day, three guys came in. They were all three very good-looking guys, and I was just looking at them, and I was carrying a sack of coin, probably, over to put in the vault. And I walked through the door, and these guys came in, and I said hello to each one of them. And I walked right into the wall. I was so embarrassed. Dropped a bag of money. It fell on the floor, and coin went everywhere. Well, everybody was giving me a bad time about that. And I, you know, of course, we were friends with them, but I was looking. And I know Dale came into the office one day, and I was, or into the bank, and I was waiting on him, took his deposit, and he walked right up to my desk, and he said, hello, Wall. I never lived that down. Any three of those guys that ever came in there, they always said that to me. It was so embarrassing. I worked at Valley Central Bank for probably 2 or 3 years, and I applied for a job at Utah Power and Light. Now, when I got the job at Utah Power, I think Kelly was just starting kindergarten. And so things were working out quite well. We were living in Dwayne's mother's house, and we decided that we were going to stay here, that we liked it. We liked the area. The kids were doing well in school. And, you know, Richfield is a great place to raise a family. You can send your kids to the show. They can walk there and they can walk home. And it was just, you know, great. They could walk right 3 blocks and be to the high school, or 3 blocks this way and be to elementary, and, same with the junior high, because it was right there too. And it was really a good place to raise a family. We lived in Naoma's house, Dwayne's mother's, for a little while till we bought this one. It was 8 months old when we moved in. We have changed a few things, of course, a lot of paint and a lot of different things. But, you know, this is our home. I love it. I do not want to move.
Life in Richfield was busy, especially when Sandy's kids got into high school. They were all actively involved in extracurriculars, and she was hard at work at Utah Power.
When Kathy was in high school, she did well. She joined the drill team and was in the drill team and did well with that. She was very smart, and she did well in high school. Carla was a cheerleader for 4 years. She played basketball and volleyball, and she did really well in high school. Carla was very pretty. So was Kathy. They were both pretty girls, and they had lots of dates, lots of fun. Now, at this time, when the girls started dating, I think the rule came out, you shouldn't date till you're 16. Boy, Dwayne just kind of thought that was cool. You know, he didn't want them out dating. And the boys were scared of Dwayne because he was a big, tough cop, you know. And they'd come to the house and he'd say something to them, and you have her home by 10 o'clock or something like that. They were all afraid of him. But he was really just a big marshmallow. Kelly then come up through and got into junior high school and started playing football. He was a good-looking kid. We had a lady in town that wanted to take his picture, and she took him down there and you know, put his picture out in the window so everybody could see it. And it's really very good-looking. And he played football. His number was 45, and they called him KR-45. That's what he went by. And he did very well. He got on the state team, and there was only two on from Richfield that got on it. He played both ways. He played tight end, and he run the ball. And he was very fast. But all three of my kids were very popular in high school. They all dated, did a lot of things, sang in high school choirs, and, you know, just really had a good time. Honestly, I never missed a football game that Kelly played. I never missed a cheerleading thing that Carla was in. I never missed a dance team that Kathy was in. I was very busy, but at this time I had got on at Utah Power and Light, and I hadn't been there maybe, I don't know, 2 months. And a guy came in and asked, Blaine Newman was his name, and he was the representative for the IBEW Local 57. And he came in and asked me to join the union. So I did. And maybe a month later, he asked me to be on the executive board for the union, which we'd go in and negotiate the power contracts. 25 years, I was on the executive board, and I was the first female that ever got on the executive board. That was kind of a highlight for me, but that was hard. You know, we'd be up there negotiating a power contract. The kids would have something going on, or playing football or cheerleading or whatever. And I would just, the minute I'd get off work, I would get in the car and head home just so I could be there to watch them. I feel like I really supported my kids while they were in high school. It was fun.
While the kids were busy with their various activities and Sandy with work and being mom, Dwayne became the police chief and eventually went to Quantico for some specialized training. Sandy remembers the special time they had together when she was able to visit him in D.C.
It got to be too much for Dwayne to have the drive in and get everything ready and then go be a cop. You know, he was like working 17 hours a day. And his sister wanted to come up from California. Her name is Sherry. So she bought into the Arctic Circle. She bought half of it. Then he went, you know, full-time cop. And that was interesting. He was an armorer and done all the gun repair from St. George clear to Provo. He repaired all the guns because he was very good at it. Dwayne also was the police chief for 6 years. He, at that time, was sent back to Quantico, Virginia, and went through the FBI Academy. He was the first guy from Richfield that had ever been back there. And he really enjoyed that. He was gone for 3 months. That was a tough time. So it was kind of all up to me to take care of the kids, to watch over his mother, to watch over my mother. And it was interesting. I remember he called home one Thanksgiving day, and I couldn't even talk to him. I was crying so hard. I just missed him so much. But after I went on the 18th of December, I flew out to meet him, and we were going to drive home. We saw a lot of sights in Washington. We did get to go to the White House, and, you know, one of his friends that he had met there at Quantico took us through the White House, and we got to go areas that other people never got to go. And we actually got to stand in the Oval Office. And that was fun. We were in Tennessee, and we went to the Grand Ole Opry, which was something I always wanted to do, and so did he. We did get to go to the Grand Ole Opry. It was Christmas time, and everything was so festive and beautiful. We got home on the 23rd of December. That was a fun Christmas present for my kids because their dad was home, and we all had a great Christmas that year.
The Ross family has many fond memories of spending time together, and they mostly center around boating, camping, and hunting.
We used to go camping in a tent. That was hard with three kids. But we did it and had a great time. We used to go up on Joseph Mountain. That was Dwayne's favorite. Or up Clear Creek Canyon and stay. That was a fun place to go, too. We talked about it quite a bit, and Dwayne's brother, Craig, had bought a boat, and so we decided maybe that'd be a good thing to do. We bought a boat, and it was wonderful. We spent a lot of time at Lake Powell with our kids. They all learned how to water ski, and we just had so much fun down there. I loved that boat. It was blue. It was a Sea Ray, 23-foot Sea Ray. Another thing that we loved to do was camp. And as the years went on, we bought different campers, you know, got bigger ones. And we would go camping everywhere. Up on Boulder Mountain, we loved to go there. Like I said, Clear Creek Canyon. We loved to go up on the West Mountain. That's where we went deer hunting. We always had a trailer for that. Many times we got snowed in, had to stay an extra day because we couldn't get the trailer out. Craig and Dwayne would take Vicki and I up on the mountain, and we'd drop them off, and they'd, you know, hike up to the top. We were supposed to sit in the bottom and watch for deer to come down. But we'd get cold, so we'd turn on the heater and get warm, and Vicki and I both would go sound asleep. Many times, when they come down off the mountain, we were just sitting there snoozing, you know, in the truck. And, oh, they used to give us a bad time about that. But it was fun. I got my first deer up on Joseph Mountain, and I thought I was pretty cool because I got a deer up there. Each one of our children got deer up on that mountain.
When Sandy and Dwayne were first married, they had not been sealed in the temple. That was always something very important to Sandy, and she held on to hope that one day they would take their family to the temple. Finally, when Kelly was serving a mission in Italy, Dwayne decided that it was time to take Sandy and his family to be sealed together. And from there, their love for the temple grew and became a focus of their lives.
He promised my mother that he would take me to the temple. And he did keep that promise. It was a few years later, but he kept that promise. And that's something that's been real special to me. We were sealed in Manti Temple. And it was just a wonderful experience. While our son, Kelly, was on a mission, and he went to Italy. And while he was on a mission, he was given a blessing up at the MTC. And the blessing promised him that if he would serve a full-time mission and follow all the mission rules, that his dad would become active in the church. Kelly thought he had to test that out. So when he got over on his mission, he got sick one day and he asked his mission president to give him a blessing. And he told him almost the same words, that if he would do what he should do and follow the mission rules, that he that Dwayne would become active in the church. That happened, but he was allowed to call home once a month and talk to Dwayne on the phone. He would call him and bear his testimony to him. Well, one time he called and he says, "Okay, Dad, it's time for you to quit smoking and drinking coffee and take Mom to the temple. And I want you to do that. So as soon as I get home, we can all go through the temple." I really feel like that was a major part when Dwayne decided that he needed to get through the temple. And at this time, he was a cop, so it was hard for him. All his friends were also cops, and they all got together every day and had their little coffee meeting. But he did. He quit smoking and drinking the same day. And we went through the temple on my birthday. And that was very special. When Kelly got home from his mission, the day after he got home from his mission, we went to Manti Temple and had him sealed to us. We had the, you know, Kathy and Carla sealed to us earlier when we went through. So that promise was fulfilled. I really appreciated Dwayne for that. Since then, he really took hold, and we went to the temple all the time. Everywhere we went, we always included a temple in it. Before Dwayne passed away, we had done sessions in 53 different temples, and that was a real blessing to me. We had been back to Nauvoo. They were doing the open house in Nauvoo, and it was the last day. When we got there, we hurried there. We did not have tickets. We hoped maybe we could get in. They told us no, that it was full. I just started crying. I said, "We have come clear from Utah, and we hurried so fast to get here so we could maybe, you know, get in the afternoon, one of the afternoon walkthroughs when they were having the open house." A 70 came around the corner and happened to see me standing there, and I was crying. And he said, "Let me see what I can do." He came back a little while later and he said, "We have got a group going through in about 20 minutes. They are the historical group for the Nauvoo area." So he said, "If you'll stay in the back of that line, you can go through with this group," which we did. And we got to go through it. We got a wonderful tour. When you got clear through the temple, they would take you, of course, into a little tent area and give you punch and cookies. We weren't going to go in there. We were just going to leave. But he said, "No, you come in. I want you to come in and at least have some punch and cookies." We sat there and visited with a couple of the people that were there. And a lady came by and she handed me a little silver box. And I said, what is this?" And she says, "Well, we're giving one of these coins." It was about the size of a silver dollar and it had the temple on it. And, you know, it was silver. It was gorgeous. And I said, "Oh, we can't take that because we're really not part of this group." And she said, "Yes, you are." So she gave us this commemorative coin, which I still have. So we left that day. And of course, any time we came through a state, we stopped at the temple and went through. We had a handbook of all the temples that were completed at that time. And we went to quite a few of them on this trip, maybe, I don't know, 15 different temples. We had at that time, when we came home, we caught each temple in Utah. So that was kind of a special trip for us.
Eventually, Duane and Sandy took their love of the temple abroad and were called on a temple mission to Lima, Peru.
Duane retired from law enforcement with 25 years. After I quit working, we'd done a little bit of traveling with our travel trailer. And we came home one time and decided maybe we ought to think about going on a mission. So we went in and talked to the bishop, and of course he got us lined up to go to on a mission. We got our mission papers to Lima, Peru. We knew no Spanish, not one. Well, we knew three or four words like taco enchilada and bean dip. And that was about all we knew in Spanish. And I thought, why are they sending us there? But we were there for 19 months. We had been there maybe 6 weeks when we had learned enough in Spanish that we were able to do a temple session. That was such a special experience for us. People came from all over Peru. That was the only temple there. And it would take them 3 or 4 days to get to the temple. They would come down the Amazon River, you know, and some of them would go without meals so they could make arrangements to come to the temple. After we'd been there a while, I could do everything they did in the temple. I was very proud of that. It was interesting. They had they called it the commissary. You could go over there and eat lunch, and they had really good food. But I was over there one day, and I ordered a big bowl of soup. Chicken noodle soup is kind of what I thought it was. Well, when I got to about halfway through it, I took a spoon up, and there was a chicken foot in the soup. I just about died. And the little sister that was sitting right next to me said, oh, can I have that? Can I have that? And she sucked all the marrow out of the bone of that chicken foot. I swore I would never eat in that commissary again. We lived in an apartment, which they said was very nice. I didn't think it was very nice, but it was clean when we got in there, and we had a maid that came and cleaned once a week. I always left her a plate of food in the fridge because they just are starving over there, some of them. I was really tired one morning, and Duane got up and went out and walked. I was laying there. We had bars on our windows. A bird flew in and lit right on my chest. When I woke up, here's this bird, you know, like this on my chest. I let out a scream like you wouldn't believe. And this bird flew off, and here I am running around in my nightgown trying to catch this bird. And every time I'd get a hold of it, it would flutter, and it'd scare me, and I'd drop it. I finally got it picked up with a towel and got it out the window. But that was probably on a Saturday. On a Sunday, we were eating dinner, and in every room in our apartment, it had drains. Well, we were sitting there eating Sunday dinner, and a rat came through one of those drains and come running into the house and ran around, and I screamed like you can't believe. It was big. It was black. It was awful. A couple of times we got to travel with the President and Sister Larson to different areas when they would go speak. We went up to Chiclayo one time with them. And that is where I bore my testimony in Spanish for the very first time. And I'd look down at people and every once in a while a little snicker because I'd say a word wrong, but they knew what I was saying. And that was so special to me. We did get to go while we were there. We did go up to Machu Picchu, and that was a special experience. We went to an orphanage, which was really special to me. There was a little girl in there. She was maybe a year old, a year and a half, and her name was Ariana, and she was the sweetest, beautiful little girl you'd ever seen. They had found her in a trash can, and her little toes had been bit off by the rats. And I would have brought that little girl home with me. After our mission, we had planned on going on another mission, but Carla had problems in her marriage, and she was working till 8, 9 o'clock at night, and her husband was not very nice to her. And several times the phone would ring, and Mason and Jordan would come and get us, Grandma, come and get us. They did elect at that time to come and live with Dwayne and I. I told them when they came that they anytime they wanted to go home, they could go. Those boys are my kids. I have always felt like they were the two I didn't get. I wanted to have 5 children. I had three births and 2 miscarriages. And I told Jordan one day, I said, I always wanted 5 kids. And he says, well, Grandma, you got them, me and Mason. And it's been a blessing having those boys here. And that was our next mission.
In 2020, Dwayne's time on Earth came to an end. It was and has been a hard time for Sandy since, but she's clung to her knowledge that she will be with him again.
We have been married 64 years. Of course, Dwayne was 79 when he passed away. He was a great big teddy bear. He really was. And he never left our home without a hug and a kiss. When he came home, he always woke me up. I always got a hug and a kiss before we went to bed. Or if I was in bed, he would wake me up. Because he worked shift work, you know, with law enforcement. He was good in law enforcement. He brought several people into the church and passed out Book of Mormons for them. I thought that was really neat. Dwayne passed away on March the 11th. He had COPD, caused from smoking. He had quit smoking for 30 years, but it never, you know, it had done damage. Dwayne's funeral was the first funeral that was held after COVID in Richfield. That was so hard. We had his funeral in that Relief Society room. Very spiritual, it was just family. It was wonderful. When we left, all of the law enforcement guys, when they took his casket out, the law enforcement were lined up and down the street, probably 40 of them, you know, from different agencies. Carla had been around someone that had COVID. She didn't even get to go to her dad's funeral, but she did come and stand, you know, on a fence and watch when they buried him. And that was special, too, because I didn't know they would give us a flag. I didn't know they'd done that for law enforcement. So that flag is very special to me. And it's somewhere in our home all the time. I had some illness after Dwayne passed away, and I did get confirmation that you can see your family in the hereafter. I was very sick. I was in the hospital. I had lost 8 units of blood, and he was there. This is after Dwayne had passed away, and he was there. He was laying to the side of me. We talked. We communicated. I told him I wanted to go home with him. He told me no, I had to stay. It wasn't my turn yet. But we talked, we communicated, and when that was over, I asked, the bishop was my doctor, and I asked him, I said, did you see Dwayne there? He was there. I know he was there. I talked to him. Did you hear me talk to him? And he said, Sandy, your whole countenance changed when he came. I know he was there. No, I didn't see him. No, I didn't talk to him. But that was an interesting thing to me, a confirmation that I will be with Dwayne in the hereafter. I would like to say to each of my children and my grandkids that I really have a testimony. I know this church is true, and I hope that each one of my children will go through the temple. I want my kids to know that my testimony is true. I have always been active in the church. I have always loved the church. And nothing thrilled me more than when my grandkids would go through the temple and we were able to go with them. I want them to know that I know Christ takes care of us. He's our intermediary to be able to live with Heavenly Father, and I hope that all of us can do that. I have had confirmation that this is true. Use your heart and your voice and your mind to find out if the gospel is true. The one thing I hope more than anything is that all my children will find that this is the true gospel. This is the true church. The advice I would leave them is when you marry, make sure you have the right companion before you get married. Because life is hard, even with a companion. It's two lives that are come together. And if you try hard, you can do it. I have got the greatest family that you could have. Of course, we've had our troubles just like everyone else, but my children are very devoted. They're devoted to me, to Grandpa Dwayne, and to the outside family. I love them because they're fun. We go somewhere, our kids would go with us, they go camping with us. We just had tons of fun. I want all of you to know that I love you very much, and I love to see you anytime. Come and see Grandma. We have a lot of fun. Grandma Sandy loves to have you come.
As you've heard, Sandy has dedicated her life to nurturing, working for, and loving her family. She's faced some serious losses, but kept her faith in God and hope that through the temple, she will live with her family again someday. A huge thank you to the Holdaways for making this episode possible and to Sandy for being interviewed. If there's someone that you would like to have featured on Hearing Our Heritage, email hearingourheritage@gmail.com or visit our website, hearingourheritage.com.